Yeah! We're back. Crap Football Crap Podcast.
Hey, this is Laurent, the Crap Football Crap Podcast leader and general. We have a special guest episode. My friend Mike Salerno shows up to talk Spurs City, and we cover lots of things. We're going to jump right in, and you'll hear us chatting about VAR. It's a good one. Listen to it. Lots of fun stuff. Remember, the pods come out on Thursday. The videos come out on Mondays. I'm covering the whole Premier League season. I'm hoping to change some things, and hopefully Mike will be on again. We're having fun. We're learning how to record things, and the brand is strong, to quote Desus and Miro. This is Crap Football. I am a crap pundit, and you join myself and Mike chatting about the football.
God just giveth and the VAR gods taketh away. But
I fucking hate it. I hate it. I don't want
you know
it.
What? Let's talk about that first and double back to City Spurs. So, I mean, Nuno Espirito Santo from Wolves, coach of Wolves, they had a goal disallowed last week.
Which in a billion years would never be disallowed.
Right, exactly.
Ever.
So you've got a goal that changes the course of a game, and I understand the spirit of the rule. And a lot of sports have moved like this, but in the sense of you've now, what he said after the game was, he basically came out and said, I understand I agree with getting the call right, but what we're doing is we're creating a culture of wait and see, a culture where sport is built on this one moment that you're building up to for the majority of 90 minutes. It finally happens, and it's this sweet release, and it's this unbelievable feeling of, oh my God, they finally did it. They finally scored a goal. And now you're poisoning that feeling with apprehension. Does it count? Is it offside? Is it a handball? It has potential, and it's early days. It has potential to kill the very thing that is the just absolute drug that is the Premier League and soccer in general.
It's the reason the fucking game is good.
Right.
It's literally the reason. That's what fucking pisses me off. I'm trying to avoid Americanness. Don't they understand? By putting this fucking stoppage basketball review bullshit, you've made it into all the other sports.
Yeah.
Soccer is good because it doesn't stop. Like, how many games have you watched where something absolutely incredible happens? You're like running around going, why aren't they stopping? The game's still going? How are these guys not losing their fucking minds?
Right.
Now they can stop. How does that even work? Like, now that moment where I know it's cliche and it's probably not true and whatever, but the perception is a reality. When you score a goal in a game and you've turned the tide and you get to kick off 40 seconds later, the team that gave up the goal is in deep shit. There's no timeout. You don't get to wait. You don't get anything. You've got to deal in the moment, on the field, with catastrophe, with someone fucking your sister, and you have to go back to work at lunchtime. Something
the funny thing I always find,
and you have to keep going.
Even the announcers, right? Unlike any other sport, if a goal is scored in the 75th minute, and they go that basically they proclaim the game over. You don't see that in any American sport. The Yankees will hit a home run in the bottom of the eighth inning to take the lead. And they'll have Mariano Rivera coming out of the bullpen.
And the game is not declared over.
The game's not declared over, right? You've got 20 minutes of this game. You've got a potentially a quarter of the game left.
Right.
And you're like, nope, just pack it up, guys. They just scored. It's over. You're dead to the world.
Well, I mean, that's the funny
feeling
thing.
Of a goal being scored.
Well, yeah, and it kills. Like, it is brutal. Because, you know, if you're Wolves, you fucking won that game. It was over. And the fact is, I watched that game. They had no right to win that game because that's kind of Wolves, Leicester. You know, it was a very Wolves goal, very powerful header. Willy Bolly basically barrels into the defender, hits it off his someone hits it off their head onto his arm, craps on the floor, and they slam it home. The spirit of the rule, which I get, was you shouldn't be able to score a goal accidentally or otherwise that's with a non on a non with an arm, right? Which would be like something like the Llorente goal that was allowed.
Yes, exactly.
Is exactly the kind of goal that would not be allowed. Because
that's
the
right.
argument wasn't whether the ball hit his arm, it's whether it was enough to have affected it. That goal went in off his leg or something.
But so the trouble here is that I agree with the idea of the rule. The rule on paper, I go, yeah, you know, that makes sense. That shouldn't be allowed to happen. And then you see it in practice. It's the same thing as baseball when you've got a guy stealing second base. He stole the base, but his left finger came off the base for a quarter of a millisecond, and now we've got instant replay. That's how people have been stealing base for 100 years.
Here's the other thing. The argument that it offside is off or on is such a crock of shit. Like, what? They've frozen the frame at the moment the guy's foot touched the ball and they know everything. They've got that calibrated perfectly as though they're saying it as though it's scientific. It's bullshit at best and definitely bullshit at worst.
It is absolutely bullshit at worst.
So,
yeah.
I mean, and the Raheem, so City's one was also pretty bad. Like, it was an amazing goal. I don't know if anyone watched it, but all we get is like Raheem Sterling offside by an armpit.
Oh, that was awful.
If it's close, you almost should lean forward because you might get your armpit onside. It used to be tie goes to defender to the attacker because it was just easier to call that way. Mm-hmm. And now it'll be, they're trying to make something that is not scientific, scientific.
They somehow made the hardest job in all of sports harder. Instead of like, they made it, they like to think they made it easier. But now
the thing is when to use it, right? You have like the Neil Warnock goal, you know, they're about to go down. They gave up literally two offside goals in a game that were a foot or two offside, right? He wanted VAR in that instance. Like, yes, please. Please fucking VAR me because this is bullshit, right? Mm-hmm. And that makes sense, right? But I think, like, when you're checking every single goal, you're fucked.
But the problem is legislation. You can't legislate in an only gray area. You have to legislate in a black and white world.
Right, that's, right. Well, not problem. Black. Well, we don't want to talk race today. But,
oh, come on.
But we could.
We will.
Only black players have been getting called offside. Boley, Sterling, no white players are getting called for VAR. This is a fucking controversy.
Well, Fernando Llorente was, but they let it go.
See? White privilege. God damn it, it's everywhere!
Speaking of racism, interesting tidbit in the news this week. And you and I were talking before the show here, and we were talking about who might be the Fredo of the Premier League. Who might be the Fredo?
I think every team has a Fredo, but you want to pick one Fredo.
I really want to pick one Fredo.
You know who my Fredo is? It's a coach. You want to know who my coach Fredo is?
Who?
It's Brendan Rodgers.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He's so Fredo.
I would go with AVB.
Oh, my God. AVB. But he's not coaching in the Premier League.
Right. No, not at the moment.
But he's definitely Fredo.
Yeah. I would. But no, yeah, I think the perfect Fredo of the Premier League right now, and potentially, depending on his performances, for you guys as well, is Kyle Walker.
Because he's too good, dude.
He's not that good. He's just the fastest man alive.
Yo, he's not faster than Daniel James. Holy shit.
Oh, my goodness. He's got wheels, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I forgot to mention him because my crap football video review was so bad. I forgot to mention the coolest player in the fucking game. Anyway, so we covered VAR. Let's just do a quick run through of any games that matter, because this is where you can really, really get into the shit part, right? So there's literally not a good game. Saturday, 4:30 a.m., 7:30 Eastern, Arsenal, Burnley, don't care. Southampton, Liverpool. Sometimes I care. It's Germans versus Austrians. They might unify and do the Anschluss all over again and have just one German coach for that game. Brighton, West Ham. No. Everton, Watford. 7 versus 10. No. Norwich versus Newcastle. This game, Norwich, Newcastle will actually determine who's going down. If Norwich City win this game, you know Newcastle's going down.
I'd agree.
Villa, Bournemouth. No. Just unless you're in love with Jack Grealish, which I am.
I do love me some Jack Grealish. Although I really enjoyed watching him get stripped by
Lamella. that was
set
bad.
Up the winner.
That was bad. That Ooh, was bad. I was like, oh, my guy, it's you're not in the fucking championship. You can't just like try and dribble out from the 18-yard box. There's someone behind you. And his name is Coco, and he's angry.
Yeah, well, I thought he was going to shank him.
He did. It was bad. I thought he may have fouled him. Sheffield United, who are like the – if you go into the nerd hole, they are the tactical darlings of the world because they have something called overlapping center backs that cross balls in. I need to see it. I don't even know what it means, but I like it. Wolves versus Man United on Monday. Chelsea, Leicester on late game Sunday. Those last two games are good. I really like to watch Leicester. And then we need to know whether Man United is real or fake. And Wolves are a pretty good test, especially at home. I have a feeling Wolves will sit in deep and Man United will find out they don't really have any creative players. They're just fast. Yep. So, yep. But we leave Man City, Tottenham for last and most importantly because it is El Dusherico, du jour. And as we said many times, this game has not gone well for you. My favorite was the first one with AVB. I think City won 5-1 at White Hart Lane. When Spurs were playing a high line and not pressing, which was pretty awesome because for the uninitiated, when you play a high line, which means you bring your defenders up high and you give a lot of space, you have to press the guy with the ball. Otherwise, the other team just runs right past your defenders.
That happened
I don't know, 14 times, and Aguero scored 375 goals. And it was laughable. Like, we were in a bar, and Mike, I don't think you had deep Spurs love. It wasn't as hurtful as it would be now.
No. But it was one of those where I was really excited about it. I was still so naive that I didn't understand enough about the sport or enough about what being Spursy was. And my goodness, did I get a lesson in it that day.
Well, I think he got fired literally the next day.
It was either that. He got his doors blown off by City and Liverpool in, like, the same month. Liverpool was 6-0.
Right.
So I don't remember which one killed him, but one of them did.
And then I don't think you've won one since.
No, we've got a few. So you've got the famous Crouchy goal before that, right? But
I'm reading the insight right here. Are you ready? Spurs have taken just 4 points of their last 9 Premier League visits.
And I can count all 4 of them for you if you want.
With one win and a draw.
Right. But at the lane 2015, we actually beat the pants off of you guys. Eric Dier scores on a deflection right before halftime to tie it. Kane gets off the mark. It was a similar.
Was it the second Pellegrini season?
I don't know. It might have been. But like it was early enough that like they were saying he won't score in August, and it was the first game in September. And it was at the lane. And I think it was 4-1 Spurs. Like, we got you pretty good that day.
I blocked it out. If it's not Wigan, I don't remember.
So there's that game.
If it didn't involve George Boyd, it didn't hurt me.
there's 3 games we got a result from City in recent memory. That one, I don't know if it was the same season. We might have done the double over you that year, actually. Valentine's Day at the Etihad. The Ericsson late winner set up by Lamella in the 84th minute, I want to say.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That was the Leicester City season.
That was not great. You know what's funny? I don't remember the bad games. unless somehow I remember only FA Cup losses to Wigan. the 2-0 against Arsenal when Santi Cazorla became Zinedine Zidane.
Oh, yeah. And then the third of 3 positive results we've gotten against City in the last, I want to say, 5 years, was the Kyle Walker push game, also at the Etihad. When it was, for 45 minutes, Hugo Lloris was an absolute brick wall. And he comes out at halftime and forgets, it was like Space Jam. He completely forgot how to play football. He gives up two mistakes that end up in the back of the net, and it's 2-0 City in the first 5 minutes of the second half, and we come clawing back. And Kyle Walker literally shoves Raheem Sterling from behind. Should have been a blatant red card. They don't even give him a foul. Again, racist. And we go the other way and score. I forget who had the winner because it was just – there was pandemonium in the bar. But I remember the push, and my face was like, no way did they not call that. And we stole a point that game.
Well, the last five, according to Who Scored, are – wait a minute. What the hell? Oh yeah, City 1-0 over Tottenham after the Champions League game, which was like the get off the mat. I can't believe I have to deal with this fucking team again. Game.
Well, we wanted you to win because we didn't want Liverpool to win the league.
Right. Then there's the 4-3, the Raheem Sterling, VAR chalk off. We were the first 5 minutes. You were up 2. I don't know what happened.
The best game Tottenham's ever lost.
Oh, and then with the Champions League game before that, where Aguero missed the penalty, you guys won 1-0. Then there's we won 1-0. I don't have no memory of this game that was last season. Then 3-1 and then 4-1. So
1-0 last season was at Wembley right after the NFL game was played and the pitch.
Yeah. That one was bad. That was a gut check game.
Yeah.
But it was kind of a fun game, I remember.
I didn't see much of it, but I remember Lamella missing a sitter, and then we lost 1-0. And they blame the field, and I'm like, shut up.
So
no, I feel pretty good going into it's Saturday at 12:30. It's a good spot. I'm excited. It's a perfectly like the 12:30 game on the Eastern Time Zone is just the best. You wake up, you get excited. You watch the 10 o'clock game. You don't even give a shit about, but you just like you're chomping at the bit for the 60th minute when the lineup comes out for the 12:30 game. And you're like, oh my god.
Yeah, I don't think either team has anyone out.
Dele is out.
My team doesn't have anyone out. We got a full
squad
of people on. Well, I mean, with Sané's out forever.
Right.
You know the story of Pep. We have this underground railroad to some knee doctor in Barcelona who may or may not be doing something weird.
Oh, I'm sure he is.
Because Pep got in trouble for that when he played.
Really?
For doping? Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, Riyad Mahrez, right?
He did not get suspended. It was fine.
He didn't?
And
he
it was a family dinner. He ate some goat balls. He was fine.
Yeah. Yeah, he put up 95 points in fantasy, too. You were making fun of me for that pick. I'm pretty excited about it.
I don't care. I don't know what – I don't fantasy the Premier League.
You're in our league.
I know, but I check and I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, well, we're
I don't quite understand what's happening. Explain to me what's happening.
No, it's simple. It's the same way as.
No, I know. I hear you. I hear you.
We're not going to bog down with that, but I think going into the game, right? So you're missing Sané, we're missing Dele, but otherwise we're looking pretty healthy. Vertonghen is a major question, though.
What the fuck is going on with that guy?
He's fine, but apparently Pochettino wasn't happy with his fitness levels. So he basically did
because he didn't do his hair. He didn't put enough cream in his hair. He wasn't tall enough.
That's correct.
He didn't spell his name with the right number of letters.
But you can't put Davinson Sanchez on the field against Manchester City. You just can't. And everybody loves to think about how he's so great. He's pretty good because he spent a lot of the season next to Toby Alderweireld and Jan Vertonghen. Like, I'm a pretty good center back next to those guys. So he's a liability. Like, oh, hell, he should have had a penalty given against them against Villa. He got away with it.
To me, the thing that'll make a difference, and this is one of these games where I'm happy there's VAR, basically Spurs' only rule against City is kick the shit out of us. Like, this was the game that you tried to break De Bruyne's leg. That was – he got stepped on the ankle. He miraculously just stood up and kept playing. I don't know how that happened. Raheem Sterling usually draws 3 penalties, 2 of which aren't called. So I think VAR is weirdly going to give people like – who get – people like Raheem Sterling are going to get calls. So
– I can see that, aside from the fact that he doesn't because of his race.
Right. Well, I mean, obviously. But they're not going to be able to deny when he does get clipped.
Sure.
When they put it up on the big screen at the Etihad and be like, hey, he definitely got clipped. Like, all that racism, he dives thing, all those reputations have to go out the window when you can see the guy kick him in the shins, right?
Yep. So, no, I agree.
I think, like, from a city perspective, we're going to get calls. The only thing I worried about is, like, a guy like Kyle Walker also kicking someone because he's...
Oh, he's crazy. Absolutely.
And then John Stones being John Stones because he kind of fucks things up periodically.
So I think we've both got potentially liable, you know, liabilities at center back and right back for that matter. I don't know who's going to play with between either Aurier or Kyle Walker-Peters, but it doesn't matter. They're both bad as defenders, but that's what fullbacks are.
If you know what, though? The ball, here's the thing, though. Like, your liability that was there was Trippier, and he's gone. Like, he was the one. He was the one that Pep would, like, gear the whole attack to be like, if you see Trippier, we're going to switch to Sterling or Mahrez and go after his ass because, you know, you'd clip a ball over the top and he'd be 10 feet in front of it and it would just go over his head, yep. Like in the Ajax game. You're like, what yep. the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, no, he wasn't.
Like,
I think
Simeone is going to kill him.
He's either going to kill him or get the best out of him. I don't know.
I don't know. They paid a lot of money for him for Spain. Anyway, so that's that game. I don't care what's going to happen. My team is better than yours. My team is the greatest team in the land. We literally haven't lost. We're on a 15-game winning streak. And then,
One area where I think we can finally go toe-to-toe with you. We have a better Moussa Dembele now. And his almost
the dude can't fucking shoot, and he has one leg.
Who?
Dembele.
Oh, yeah, but we're not talking about him specifically. I'm saying Tanguy Ndombele.
Well, I don't know.
The combination of him, potentially Lo Celso getting his first game, as well as Eriksen or a Sissoko or Winks in the midfield, will be able to hold a stronger midfield against City than we have previously, especially in recent memory.
Watch Pep do something insane and play Rodri and Fernandinho together.
That's possible, but then you lose the press, right?
No, so, then he'll just play De Bruyne by himself and try and like play one of them higher up and just be really defensive. He's weird.
That's where I think
it's more
Pep. Of a chess game than
yeah. There's
probably get credit for.
There's definitely something funky that could happen. There's a lot of potential for Fernandinho at fullback. There's a lot of potential for Kyle Walker at fullback. I mean, sorry, at center back. There's a lot of weird stuff about how City plays the defensive games when they play because they haven't really done that. It would always be like, oh, we have a tough defensive game. We're going to play Otamendi and company together. And then, like, you know, just go from there where it's like, you know, company somehow avoided getting red cards because everybody likes him. So it blows up my racist card, but it does increase the Uncle Tom card. So I don't even know what I'm saying. I got nothing. This is boring for me.
I was about to go into my planning for my second foray into England for a match.
You know what? Tell us how you do that. What do you do?
Okay. So obviously you need to have the membership and all that stuff to be able to get a ticket. But think of it in the sense of you're trying
to... How does that work? What does that mean? You need like a seat license?
Yeah, basically. You pay £50 and you get access to the portal that allows you to get tickets, more or less.
Okay.
If you're trying to go to an away game, good luck, because not only do you have to apply for one, but you have to have a certain – every time you go to a game, you get points, loyalty points, let's say, right? So it's basically, if you don't have a certain amount of – like a certain threshold of points, you don't even get to apply for a ticket for the away game, despite the fact that you've paid for, like you said, a PSL. Season ticket holders have it much easier, but for somebody who's just going to one or two games a year, or in my case, less – well, I guess one
or two games. So how is it that half the games are filled with Asians from Asia on vacation?
That I haven't cracked yet. But because I mean,
like, how does the world of like SeatGeek work in England? Does it not function?
Oh, it
you have to have like double, it's triple illegal. ID.
No, it's illegal.
Like, what do you mean it's illegal?
Secondary selling is illegal in England. There's no stub
out of here.
That it's fucking illegal, man. Like, and to the point where they don't essentially, I don't think they crack down on it too much, but basically there's no guarantee. You're just taking a hope and a prayer. It's like the scalpers outside Madison Square Garden in like the 80s. So you don't have the ability to guarantee yourself a ticket or guarantee that it's an actual ticket unless you go directly through the club. And that's why they do that, because they're all communists and they want to keep the costs down for everybody, for the, you know, the
profit. Yeah, it has its old working class roots. You shouldn't gouge people, blah, blah, blah. So instead you just gouge other people's fans.
Exactly. So, right? Yeah, so to some extent, yes.
Yeah.
But so think of it like I'm trying to go over there and I'm trying to see two games. I'm trying to see a Premier League game and a Champions League game, ideally. So, as we know, the Premier League schedule has been out for a few weeks, but that
but they change it constantly.
It's subject to change, right? Exactly. So you've got the Champions League draw on August 29th, and believe me, I know more about this than I ever wish to know. Now, on August 29th, we will know the teams, and later that day, potentially the next day, we'll know the dates and the times for every game. So you can tell where the dates are already. They play either September 17th or 18th.
It feels really ripe for disruption. You'd think one of these American owners would be like, I bought this team. Set the fucking schedule and stop moving it, you fucking idiots.
Yeah, it's impossible to. So what I'm trying to do is turn around a flight and an Airbnb or a hotel or whatever, potentially in 2 to 3 weeks notice. For the first September Champions League match.
Have you made weird English friends on some message board?
Well, no, I met them last year. It was great.
But you know, Europeans will put you up. They're weird like that.
They are, and I have a couple of friends who I've literally, they came to New York, and I'm like, I have to show you the New York Tottenham bar, and you know, I'll see you next time I'm out there, and I will absolutely buy you a pint, or vice versa.
You know, they're your kind of people. They like fighting those people.
Oh, I know. We got along great. And that's one of my ticket hookups. So if all else fails, and I'm kind of pursuing
because I was on some group that I was pretending that I was going to go to England, and there's a city group that it's literally just real supporters who have season tickets that will swap at face value with each other. And it's all through Facebook, and they're just like, working angles or saying, hey, this is what I do, this is the code, blah, blah, blah. I have no idea how it works at all.
There's a lot of that stuff going on too.
There's a reason for it. They used to literally try and kill each other at the games.
Well, right. Well, obviously, right. And then once they started to institute some rules and laws, they got a little bit better with that. But actually, as Tottenham Hotspur technically thinks, I was at the Spurs City 1-0 Champions League game. Because I have a ticket account or a whatever, and my friend who we were talking about, he asked me if he could basically use my account for his friend. So that's one of the ways they do it, right? Like, he transferred a ticket to my account. I didn't use it because I'm in Florida, not London, and he brought his friend in as Mike Salerno.
You'd think that they'd fucking figure this shit out, because it seems ridiculous. Well, a couple things come to mind. One, American sports fans have it fucking easy. We just show up and there's music pumping that tells us what to do. And if they don't tell us what to do, we don't care. And it's really just an entertainment enterprise. There's no unions of fans. We don't do fan protests. If you don't show up for your team literally could leave your town and just be like, you know what? Fuck you. And then come back later when they feel like it.
Yep.
See Raiders. The Dodgers or the Giants back in the day. It doesn't matter. We have this easy breezy. I can go to Fenway in a full kit wanker Yankee gear and just stand right in the middle. And there's no segregation. You just walk right in. turnstile goes through, somebody might throw a beer at you at worst. And then on the other
side, I like to think it's probably and then a little
bit side of it, you've got like second tier Turkish teams who get relegated and burn down their stadium.
But you have to understand, like, we have to outline the significant cultural difference here in that America, the land of milk and honey, has five professional sports leagues. If the Yankees suck, I'll go watch the Rangers. If the Rangers suck, I'll go watch the Giants or whatever. So there's always something else. There's always something
competing. I also think that the compression of space makes a huge difference.
Of course. And that's the other thing, too, is that, like, we're a country that should be divvied up into 19 different countries. If the current political climate isn't proving that, I don't know what the fuck is going
on. Here's the first the best case in point. England, which in area is the size of New York State, has 92 professional teams with at least 20 players who have on full-time salary. That doesn't even count the eight leagues underneath that are semi-pro to amateur, right? They have a pyramid of 10 tiers that you can go to the Premier League from the bottom all the way up.
And the point is even more poignant because it's this, like you said, the size of New York State. People take trains to away games in unison, basically, go into the stadium together, leave the stadium together.
It's so good to do. It's like I had like just a fraction of a sniff of it with my weird ASC San Diego story where I went to LA and had fireworks fired at me.
You want to experience real danger, Laurent? Here's what you do, okay?
Go to an away game.
You go, no, even better. You go to a European away game. You go to Lyon. You go to Milan. You go to somewhere in Germany. You just, and I'm telling you, they treat you like absolute filth. It's awesome. I got searched walking into the San Siro before Inter versus Spurs last year, like I was a terrorist.
Well, you weren't. You are a terrorist.
I might be. I didn't. You know, I didn't have a beard or anything. But like, I might be a terrorist.
I can't believe you did that. That's actually completely insane that you did that.
I know. I got really lucky with the Champions League draw, like I was just talking about, and it got to the point where the game that I had initially tried to see. So basically, I decided we're going to do this home game and we're going to flip a coin. And if it's a Champions League home game, we're going to go. And if it's a Champions League away game, we're going to do our best. So it got weird. I got watching the draw and I stopped work. Like, you always root for the crappier teams and the best potential for your team to win. I watched the draw last year and I was like, once I knew that the stadium was delayed, I'm like, I don't want to go to Wembley twice. That sucks. I want to go somewhere cool. So the balls came out and it was Barcelona. I'm like, yes. Milan, absolutely. I love pizza. And PSV Eindhoven, who was like a stone's throw from Amsterdam. So I'm like, we just hit the jackpot, baby. Like, let's go.
By the way, you went to Milan. You had a great experience, even though your team lost. PSV Eindhoven is fucking hardcore. You would have gotten stabbed.
Yes, without question. Without question.
All right. Mike, we're on 35 minutes. It's going to be a lot of recording, but I'm happy. We'll see what comes out. Hopefully, I'm probably going to be lazy and just do like a preface video of like, this is my friend Mike and I talking complete bullshit.
I love it.
And if you make it through this podcast, you have a problem.
That's a good selling point, I think.
Yeah, I'm leaning into the brand. Although I have to say that I am starting to get depressed about the fact that this thing doesn't have more people. Because some guy at my job made a fucking cartoon called like Canadian Bacon the Doctor. And it's just like a cartoon of him doing a bad Canadian accent that has so many views. It's his only view. And he's joking with me. And he said, this one video I have has more views than all of yours combined. I'm like, you know what?
You're slapping him in his chins.
He's a large.
I could tell by the Canadian Bacon reference.
What? No. I don't remember the name. It was something stupid. It's like, you know, Dr. Canuck or something. It's like a dumb parody thing that he did.
Yeah.
I mean, it was funny, but, you know, it's not as good as my 100 hours of videos that no one has watched.
Doesn't matter.
It's only for a moment. I mean, you know, crap football, the brand is strong. I have this fantasy that eventually one day someone will be like, wow, that was good. And it'll just take off just randomly because, you know, the alt-right algorithm will pick up something I say, or I'll have to just change my background photo on the green screen to be Hitler in Paris or something like that.
You could do that.
You know, when he's underneath the Eiffel Tower with three guys looking around.
No, I know where you were going with that.
For some reason, Hitler always works for me. It's a big winner. It's terrible. Okay, Mike.
That was Crap Football. I am a crap pundit, and this was a crap podcast, and I will speak to you later.